welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday. It's the 9th of February, 2012. Hope your day is going well so far. If it's not, well, there's always tomorrow, TGIF. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. The station has lots of juice, lots of power. We're heard all over Southern Arizona, and then you factor in our two simulcast partners, our friends on KJAA AM 1240 and Globe, carry the Buckmaster Show, and KAPR AM 930 covering southeastern Arizona out of Douglas and Cochise County. And we live stream the show, buckmastershow.com, that's my website, and then KVOI, the station's website, kvoi.com. And we understand that not everyone can hear the show live, so we have made it more convenient for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere, on three websites: my website, buckmastershow.com, then our agreements with tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com make it very convenient for you to hear any of our programs anywhere in the world. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to one. We'll get things rolling with a leadoff interview with Dick Grunzel, Dick of the Tucson International Airport. We talk air travel, one of my favorite subjects. We'll gauge how this important sector of the Tucson economy is doing. 20 minutes past the hour, 1 year after the 100-year freeze. Do you believe it? Spring is already in the air. We'll talk with gardening expert Phil Cedar. 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with Dave Sitton, Republican candidate for Congress in the special April 17th election, as that field becomes even more crowded. Five candidates now on the GOP side. We'll close out the show with a conversation with Dr. Satish Hiremath. Dr. Hiremath is the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. We always encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join us anytime, 790-2040. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our increasingly popular Facebook page, Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now let's talk air travel. Tucson International Airport expecting a modest growth as the economy is slow to recover. The number of passengers traveling through TIA in 2011 was down slightly after a rebound in 2010. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Dick Grunzel, Chief Financial Officer for Tucson International Airport Authority. Dick, good to see you. I hope your day's going well.
It's going great. Thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the assessment of 2011 and how are we looking for 2012?
The 2011 really continued to be a kind of a difficult year for the airline industry. So that kind of resulted in that 2.2% decrease in passengers that we saw in 2011. Not only the economy, but the high oil prices is impacting the airlines. And as a result, they've been kind of on a steady diet of increasing airfares, and that hasn't helped the travel demand either. And they are really very reluctant with the high oil prices to increase the and add new flights and add new seat capacity. So 2011 was difficult, and unfortunately, we don't really see any end to the high oil prices. So 2012 is, for the most part, kind of looking much like 2011. So as you mentioned, we are expecting, you know, very modest growth in our passenger numbers in 2012.
Yeah, oil prices, it's a huge factor, and especially with uncertainty that is looming perhaps in the Middle East with Israel and Iran. That's a huge question mark.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, as with most things in business, it's uncertainty that really kind of makes business freeze and really not know what to do. So that just, you know, creates this really cautious approach that all the airlines are operating under right now.
I think we've got some positives going for us with new air service. We had some pretty good new air service in 2011. Why don't you summarize that? And then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on now.
Yeah, and in spite of the decrease in the passenger numbers that we had in 2011, we did have some new service that started during the year. Southwest added a second daily flight to Chicago Midway during the year. Frontier had a weekly seasonal service to Milwaukee that ran from January to April. U.S. Airways added some additional flights to Phoenix during the year. And then American Eagle actually started three daily flights to LAX. And previously, they had not flown to LAX before. So that was a great addition to the lineup at TIA.
Yeah, U.S. Airways is almost doing – it's not hourly, but it's very reasonable, the times that they are offering flights up to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a real important service for us because obviously with Phoenix being a hub for U.S. Airways, people can jump on that flight in Tucson just about any time of the day and fly into Phoenix and then pretty much from there go anywhere, just about anywhere in the country, mostly nonstop.
And some good news as far as today, actually. 1 o'clock in about 50 minutes, American Eagle is going to put a fourth daily flight over to LAX. They started out with three, so obviously for them to add a fourth would indicate that they're getting some good capacity.
Right. American really, for about the last year, has been really concentrating on beefing up their five major hubs, LAX being one of them. So they added those three flights last year, and they have been very pleased with how that flight has done. So that's resulting in this fourth flight that's starting today.
Southwest, there'll be a big celebration. For the first time, it looks like Southwest will be offering Baltimore-Washington service this Sunday, and that runs through April the 9th.
That's right. Southwest, we've been talking with Southwest a long time about BWI. That is an airport where they've been really expanding their operation, and they've given us an opportunity on a seasonal basis from February to April. And depending on how this flight does, if it does well, that gives us a lot of ammunition to continue talking with them and hopefully expand that service to a year-round basis.
You know, the business community wants better air service. The leisure travel wants better air service. And probably the best way to begin is to fly out of Tucson rather than Phoenix.
That's exactly right. The airlines want proof. If we have full planes here, that's an indication that we have capacity to add more. Flights like this Baltimore, if we're given a chance and we fill those planes, that is the best evidence they have to add more service.
We're with Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport talking about air service, the air service, some high notes, American Eagle expanding to four flights, then that flight beginning this Sunday to Baltimore, BWI, Baltimore, Washington. The business community, I know there's an incentive plan now that the Tucson Airport Authority has put in place to try to increase the air service, but now the business community perhaps may step up as well.
Right. We've actually started a program late last year, which we call our Working Together program. And what we're doing is going out and talking to businesses one-on-one about the air service, why it's important for their employees and their encouraging their guests in the case of the resort community to use our airport, because as we talked about, the more we use this airport, the better chance we have of getting additional routes, in particular to the East Coast, which is really a high demand for what people in the community want.
And there is continuing demand for Mexico. It's just a matter of kind of putting the right pieces together, finding the right air carrier, and kind of the right combination to get this thing going. Of course, for years, Aeromexico had served, it was one of the cornerstones, really, of Tucson International Airport, kind of the first international service out of TIA.
Yeah, and that service ended back in October of 2008, and ever since then we've been talking to whoever will listen about trying to reinstate service to Mexico. A lot of challenges have kind of cropped up in that endeavor. Several airlines in Mexico went bankrupt and actually just stopped operating, and then the U.S. airlines, of course, have been pulling back on their capacity the last few years. So finding the right airline to that has really really the right aircraft is really the key to this, because for us to be successful, it's probably going to be a situation where we need relatively small aircraft, and probably would involve flights of maybe two or three times per week, as opposed to the service that we used to have, which operated every day. And because we really don't have the enough demand for one specific location to really support a daily service to any particular city in Mexico.
Couple of developments in the airline industry we want to share and get your thoughts on. The American Airlines, the last of kind of the legacy carriers to go into a financial reorganization. So who knows how that's going to end up. But one thing we do know, American has very good capacity out of Tucson International.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. American really has done well in Tucson. And that's reflected in the fact that we have not seen any reductions in flights or capacity since they did file for bankruptcy back in November. And in fact, as we mentioned, they're adding another flight to LAX starting today. So they have been reducing capacity in other markets, but here in Tucson, they're going strong and doing very well.
The airport's looking good on the inside. Some people have complained about weeds on the outside, and I think efforts are underway to make it a little nicer, the approach to the airport.
Yeah, we really appreciate the efforts of the Tucson Metro Chamber working with the owner of AAA Landscaping. They've instituted an effort to raise funds and actually spruce up the medians along Tucson Boulevard. That is a comment that we hear a lot from the business community, that they want to make a good impression on visitors when they come fly into Tucson, and the improvements to the medians along Tucson Boulevard will go a long ways in doing that.
What's the latest on our historic tower with the FAA? Is that still going to there was talk about replacing it. Is that on hold?
That project continues to move forward. A site has actually been selected on the west side of the airport airfield, and the FAA is finalizing the business case for the tower, and every indication is that that's going to go forward. And we expect actually within, very soon now, they're actually going to start design on that. So we're probably looking at maybe 2 or 3 years down the road before we'd be looking at construction.
Can you keep the tower as like a observation area or something?
There's nothing that says we have to, we own that tower. So that's really totally within our control as to what happens to the existing tower once the new one goes up.
Maybe we can come up with some kind of a creative way to keep it around. Dick Grunzel, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. So the big question mark, oil prices. But other than that, the air service is increasing, and things are looking better for TIA. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dick Grunzel with us from Tucson International Airport. If you have any gardening questions, Phil Cedar is the guy to answer those questions as we look at 1 year since that big freeze, all the pipes breaking around town, and everything seems to be recovering very well. We'll be back. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. It was a year ago this month that Tucson was hit by a once-in-forever event that dropped our temperatures to record lows for a couple of nights and destroyed many a garden around town and burst pipes all over the place. What a difference a year makes. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is the most knowledgeable person I know on the subject of plants and all green things, Phil Cedar. Phil is host of his own garden show sponsored by the Green Things Nursery, where you can find Phil most days. His popular shows here on KVOI are on Saturday morning, 7 to 8, and then Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4. Phil, how are you this afternoon?
Real well.
Well, Phil, you know that here we are, this one-year anniversary. We're having a very mild winter. We had some below freezing temperatures in late September. Does it look like we might get another freeze before the end of this winter?
There's no chance that we will not have a frost. We are going to have a frost because the last average date is the 15th of March, which means half of them are after the 15th and half before. We probably won't have the kind of freeze we had last year. We hadn't had one for 112 years in February. But, you know, about 3 weeks ago, a guy, I think, in Minnesota won two lotteries. So things can happen. If this event we had last year was to happen, say, five or six times in the same century, we would probably no longer have saguaros here, and that's not going to happen.
Should we hold off now on planting anything at the, with this? It seems like everything wants to start blooming already.
Well, here's the deal. There's no difference in the planting, like, say, a citrus tree in July or in February or in December. It's what you do when you plant it that makes the difference. So you're out there digging a hole at 105 degrees, or you're digging a hole at 67 degrees. You don't need to water nearly as much in the winter to get things going because the plant is not nearly as stressed. If you were bringing a plant in from, say, a tropical environment to Tucson at that time of year, there'd be problems. The only thing I suggest you don't do right now is on anything that's tender, like the tropical and subtropical plants, then like, say, lantana, bougainvillea, hibiscus, citrus, things that freeze back every year, don't fertilize them until about the middle of March.
Should we be?
We don't want new growth, and then it gets froze back again.
How about cutting the rose bushes?
Oh, they got to be cut last month. We went over this for 4 weeks on the show. Get those rose bushes cut. If you didn't do it, get it now.
How about those lovely poinsettias?
Well, they're going to go. They should be going into some dormancy right now where they're already starting to drop their flowers. And I would suggest people cut them back to about a foot or so. And then they'll come back, and by next Christmas, they'll be about 40 to 45 inches tall. And there'll be a big bush. And what I'll do on my show is around October, I'll explain to people how you can get them to redden up for you.
What should we do about the bougainvillea? I really haven't had much dead growth with the bougainvillea this year. Lots of green leaves. Should just leave it alone right
leave
now?
Leave it alone. If you have some of the tips that are brittle and they just snap off, you can cut those back. And you can tell what's dead by it's kind of brown and the live stuff's kind of gray. But don't cut them all the way back, and here's the reason. When bougainvillea comes back from what looks like is dead, it comes from the bottom up. So the leaves on top do not come out the same time as the leaves in the bottom. Where if you have rose bushes, all the leaves burst out at the same time. What a lot of people make a mistake with bougainvillea is the minute they see a couple leaves in the first foot, they cut the rest off, and here there was probably 3 or 4 more feet of live wood there. So give it about 3 or 4 weeks to get all the new growth out, then you can cut back what you don't like. And always cut back into living wood. Don't just cut the dead stuff off, because the dead stuff doesn't do any signaling to the plant that it was cut off. If you cut into live wood, there are enzymes and hormones in the plant that make that plant want to recover. It'll start putting out new growth really quick.
Phil Cedar is on the Buckmaster Show. Phil hosts a couple of very popular gardening shows here on KVOI on the weekend, and I was listening to your show. I think it was you were announcing just this past weekend that you're now going to be having a website?
We're putting a website together so we can, you know, let people put their gardens on the website, show them off. And I can give you the website. It's called EnchantedGardensOfAmerica.com. And it's connected to Green Things' website, which is greenthingsaz@gmail.com. Anyway, you can put all your pictures of all your gardens and your flowers and plants. And also I'd like to have people put pictures of the wildlife that shows up in their yard. Squirrels. Look, at some of you guys have pictures of mountain lions sitting on your chaise lounge by the pool. And so they would be really nice on the website.
I got a wildlife question for you, Phil. Is it too early, this unusually warm weather that we're having this winter, is it too early now for some of the rattlesnakes to start appearing?
Our rattlesnakes don't hibernate the way a lot of snakes around do in colder areas. These things will come out on nice warm days. I remember one Christmas morning when I was a cab driver, I drove in somebody's driveway at Rancho Sin Vacas. There was a beautiful rattlesnake just laying in their driveway. I just moved it out of the way so we could drive through. And they can come out on any day of the year. They get a little bit more around the 15th of March. You'll see all the lizards coming out. What's coming out right now, the last 2 weeks, are the little round-tailed ground squirrels you see around town that people think are little prairie dogs. They're not prairie dogs, but they start coming out now.
So you're guaranteeing there will be a frost before before what, mid-March?
Mid-March, yeah. Look, remember something. We've had snow on both Good Friday and Easter in April.
Yeah.
But see, the last average has to put it right in the middle. So not meaning we're going to guarantee a frost, but we've been over a month ago, we're going to get a frost here.
And as you know, this program is heard in different parts of southern Arizona, and that is a different story for the last frost of the season.
The last frost down in Sierra Vista and Bisbee and those places is around the middle of April. Phoenix's last frost is around Valentine's Day, and that's why people get confused about fertilizing. In Tucson, we don't fertilize till the middle of March. In Phoenix, they fertilize the middle of February. So when they're telling you to fertilize on Valentine's Day next week, that's not for us. That's for Phoenix.
Phil Cedar, always a pleasure, and I assume you're getting all your spring flowers in at Green Things.
Hey, I've got more Valentine's things here. And if you want to save a little money, I already found out what roses are going for this year.
Yeah.
I got plants here that are half the price of roses, and they will live beyond next Sunday, which is, you know, most of the roses people will buy for Valentine's Day are going to be gone by Sunday following.
Hey.
So if you want some beautiful, beautiful living plants for people for Valentine's, come see me.
I think I might do that this weekend. Phil Cedar, thank you very much.
Thanks.
For being with us.
Bye now.
Phil Cedar on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk politics next with Dave Sitton. That's next on Buckmaster.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
The nation's first new nuclear power plant in a generation has won approval. Federal regulators have voted to grant a license for two new reactors in Georgia. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission voting 4-1 to approve plans to build two reactors at a site south of Augusta. Almost a million American households going to see a reduction in the amount they owe on their mortgages. This is part of a deal involving federal and state officials and five major banks. House Speaker John Boehner says there is clear evidence that detainees released from Guantanamo Bay end up back on the battlefield. On Wall Street, the Dow is trading about 25 points higher at 12,908. NASDAQ is up 13, and the S&P 500 index better by 4 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 10:34. It is the Buckmaster Show on 10:30 AM KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network. Last week, sports broadcaster and Tucson businessman Dave Sitton joined the race for the congressional seat vacated by Gabrielle Giffords. Dave joins four other Republicans, State Senator Frank Antonori, Jesse Kelly, who narrowly lost to Giffords in 2010, John Lervold, an interrogation instructor at Fort Huachuca, and then joining the race today, Martha McSally, the first woman to fly an Air Force fighter in combat. Dave Sitton is a longtime Tucson media and sports personality. Dave is marketing director for the University of Arizona Cancer Center. He previously served as the longtime vice president and GM at Clear Channel Communications Outdoor Advertising. His broadcasting career began in 1981 as the radio voice of UA baseball. Since then, of course, he's been broadcasting UA sports, baseball, football, basketball games. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. It's the first time I've seen you on radio. You're just as handsome on radio as you are on television, so that's a good thing.
Without makeup and no tie. Hey, the Buckmaster guy had to change wardrobes here and get as many pairs of jeans and slacks and a lot of button-down shirts, and I'm good to go.
I think you're poised for a long run here, my friend.
Tell me about this adventure that you have embarked upon. It was not an easy decision, I take it.
No, I don't think it's an easy decision for anybody to elect to put their life on, in, as you mentioned off the air, just putting yourself out for everybody to see and have a look at you and inspect you. And it was done so with a great deal of care. And most importantly, my daughters, who are adult young ladies, were very enthusiastic about this. And quite frankly, I had eschewed running for office in the past because they are at the time were in high school or grammar school, and that was not an appropriate time for me, in my belief, to do that.
We've got a crowded field, Dave. So what will your message be that puts you what is your message, and how is it going to resonate here in this field?
Well, let me start about I'm going to answer the question a little bit backwards. The reason why I resonate is because I tell everybody I know and everybody who will listen to me, I'm an American first running as a Republican. I am leery of all of the labels people slap on each other right now, but I have very strong conservative values, and I am more about being an American than anything else, a good American. For those who don't know, I spend a great deal of time studying the Constitution and history when I'm not telling you what the score is of any particular event. The three things, and, you know, quite frankly, Bill, these are can't-wait issues. Number one, jobs. I believe that the American experience is fraught with examples when Americans are unchained through regulation and taxation to pursue their dreams. They create jobs in ways no one else in the world can match. So that is number one. We're not going to get jobs by having the government spend tax dollars. It's the other way around. Number two, the border. It is a very difficult issue for us, particularly here in the border states that are recognizing that if you even just take immigration, legal and illegal immigration, out of the discussion for just a moment. I do want to do that. There is reason to believe that between the drug cartels, the extraordinary firepower as militia of these drug cartels, their ruthlessness, the human smuggling that goes on here, and just think about this. We still have enemies. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention. But we still have enemies around the world that would love to do harm to us. We don't know what could come across in one of those nuclear suitcases and across that border. I don't want to see some grade school on a lockdown just because somebody's threatened to blow it up. I don't want to see these things. So I think we have to secure that porous border. And then last but not least, and this certainly ties into number one, when members of Congress voted to support a 2,700-page bill that I'm willing to bet none of them read – that changed, that changed forever the patient-doctor relationship. Well, I can talk a great deal about the economics of this thing, but even more so, Bill, is the fact that your relationship with your doctor, that young lady out there, that 19-year-old woman out there, that 86-year-old man, that 57-year-old woman, our relationship with our doctor has been changed from a personal one with them to something that is for the state, and that is wrong. I want that bill that has been now known as Obamacare to be replaced by something better and something that fits the American spirit.
I think we have war clouds looming in the Middle East with Iran and Israel. If you were to become Arizona's representative from CD8, how would you approach that issue?
Well, you're talking about something that is obviously very complex. Let me give you some of the bullet points that I think. I strongly support Israel. Two, I strongly support free Arab states. I don't think that we necessarily have to choose. We have to make sure there's leadership there, that those states that would interfere with Israel's right to exist are either calmed down by us or somebody who can do something in the neighborhood for us. I think we have to be smart over there about taking action there. I am a strong believer in our military. Those who know me know I support the military as strong as I can. I never served, but I believe this, that if we are to engage an enemy, that we are to do everything we can to win that encounter with as great force as possible, as unfairly as possible, and as quickly as possible. And if we're not prepared to do that, let's not go to the fight. We are either going to say that this is very serious, weighty stuff to have our men and women put themselves in harm's way, and we want them to win unquestionably, or we should not go into that space.
You're talking to a lot of people, I'm sure, meeting a lot of people. What do you think that is emerging? Is jobs and the economy, is that the issue?
I get that over and over again. I think, you know, you take a look at the three I just enunciated, mm-hmm. and I think
jobs,
that,
border, and yeah, and the health care issue.
And I think I would tell you that the jobs are first and the border and health care might be tied for second, and depending on who you're talking to at what point of the day. So I know we're on to the right three to get us started. And let's face it, those are just the first three. You just mentioned the fourth, which to me is a military.
Yeah.
In this district, there is a unique characteristic about where we live, Bill, that it's similar to parts of Virginia, San Diego, and Tucson, and in this particular congressional district, District 8. And it will be for two as well, that you have Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, an extraordinary home of the 355th Fighter Wing, which is the A-10 group, and of course Air Force South, which is the 12th Air Force, which is headquartered there. And then, of course, you get down to the extraordinary and I wish everybody would tour it, Fort Huachuca, because it is absolutely a magnificent military installation. And the fort has a great deal to do with signal command. And, of course, as you just mentioned, the candidate down there is from Army Intelligence. So these bases are very important to American security and important to our district as well.
And with Raytheon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, what a huge player Raytheon is. So how are you structuring this campaign? It's a very compressed, tight time period. April 17th to be here before you know it. Then there'll be early voting. I mean, you don't have much time.
No, it's I don't want to use too many sports metaphors, but this is an Olympic race. We've taken the 400 meter dash and made it 100, and the dynamics are you just do everything quicker, you know. And that's I'm blessed because we have some extraordinary people on our campaign who are either volunteering or on staff or have stepped forward to chair various committees. You will all get to know them in due time, in that very short due time. But I think we are uniquely qualified to move in a very quick and a very efficient manner.
And then there's money. You have to have money to
run. What?
This is the first I've heard of it. Yeah, you got to get out there and raise a few bucks to get your message.
And we all do. And that's the way the the election cycles have been evolved to this point. It is a very expensive proposition, and my competitors in this race on both sides of the aisle are all facing the same daunting task: is that you have to get on the phone and say to people, "If you really believe what I'm saying, then I need for you to write a check," and that's what we're all doing.
You say that you are a very true conservative, believe in conservative values. Is that something that's been kind of a lifelong thing with you?
I think so. I was raised – my dad was a very interesting man. He was a successful businessman, but he's from the old world. In 1921, when he was 11 years old, he's the oldest child in a family in East Texas, and they'd been rather well-to-do, but that's a long time before life insurance and products like that. So he went to work without a high school degree. And Bill, it was interesting, when I left for college, my friends still came over to see him. They knew him as the senator. And the reason is because he knew the U.S. Constitution, he knew the Bible, and he knew Shakespeare, and he's prepared to go toe-to-toe with anybody on those three issues. And it was, and he had a great sense of humor. And so that's kind of the world I grew up with parents that were hardworking and instilled those traits to both my sister and me.
And folks that don't know, Dave is very involved with rugby, has been for many, many years. So I guess, is there some kind of a rugby analogy with this race? What would this be about?
It's going to be a very hard game. Rugby is a very hard game. You don't wear any pads and you play tackle football. So I think that might work perfectly.
I think that's very apropos. Dave Sitton, thank you very much for being with us and sharing a few of your thoughts and your issues in this special GOP primary coming up April the 17th. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Dave Sitton with us on the Buckmaster Show. Lots to talk with the mayor of Oro Valley about in this bond issue controversy that's going up in Phoenix. That's coming up next as we continue with Buckmaster on this Thursday afternoon.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Coming up on 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, and support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, legislation proposed by Republican lawmakers from Southern Arizona is moving forward at the Capitol that would give Oro Valley, Marana, and Sahuarita together veto power over new borrowing for roads and other projects in Pima County. The legislation would create a special committee to oversee county bond elections. Oro Valley Town Mayor Satish Hiremath is a practicing dentist in Oro Valley who joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Mayor, how are you today?
Very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. What do you think of this legislation that's being proposed about changing the way bonding is done in Pima County?
Well, I spoke with Mayor Honey about that, and I will always support any mayor's right to kind of exercise control over their jurisdiction. But I think the bigger problem is that we have to take a look at the regional picture, and what I hope doesn't happen is that because this bill passes through, that all of a sudden people are kind of speaking more of the same. Well, there goes the city of Tucson and the county and the jurisdictions. It's just more of the same, the infighting. I do believe that if there's Pima County does a bond and it's a voter-approved bond, then they should be dispersed according to the voters that are approved, how they approved it. So I don't think anybody has an argument there. My only concern is that I'm hoping that because of passage of this bill, that it doesn't translate over to the lack of regionalism that we're all supposed to be striving for.
So are you on board with this?
The bill doesn't mention Oro Valley or Sahuarita or any of the other smaller jurisdictions. So I really don't have any concerns one way or the other. Right now there's a bond committee, and basically it's about 25 to 27 members strong. And if we go to one vote, one jurisdiction, then it would be no different than really what the makeup of the PAG/RTA board is. Each jurisdiction has one vote. So I don't see this being a very big issue, but perception is just a very funny animal. I just don't want the general public or outside people looking in at our region saying, why are they passing this bill? They already have a bond committee.
Oro Valley will be ceasing the Coyote Run operations this month in favor of a regional transit system that comes with the RTA funding. Are you excited about that?
I am very excited. About 2 years ago, the state removed our what's called the LTAP funding. And so the town of Oro Valley was left literally holding the bag and figuring out what to do, because our senior riders and our disabled riders, literally, if the service was gone, would just be left in the lurch. So in partnering with the RTA, we now provide services that will provide for not only the general public, but the ADA-certified passengers, and also seniors 65 and older. And when everything is said and done, Bill, these are the great benefits to the residents. We have weekend service for our ADA passengers. Their fares actually reduced. And we now have kind of a striving for, and we'll get there very, very quickly, is just a one-stop shopping. So there's only going to be one number regionally people will have to dial, not separate numbers for other jurisdictions. But Oro Valley is very, very excited because it preserves our transportation for seniors and our disabled residents.
And we're very happy to welcome a new sponsor this month, and that is Innovation Park there in your backyard in Oro Valley. Oro Valley's really carving out a niche as far as being the area's bioscience center, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, we're just kind of capitalizing on our strengths. And one of the things that I'm very excited to hear about also in the regional realm is that we no longer are fighting for the same piece of the pie. The city of Tucson, has their focus on transportation systems and really just kind of buoying themselves up into being a national player. The town of Sahuarita is going to be more focused on the aerospace. City of Tucson obviously has Raytheon. Town of Oro Valley has the bioscience. So what we're really finding out what is going to work very well for the region is almost spokes to a wheel. So Oro Valley doesn't have to compete with City of Tucson, nor the county, nor Sahuarita, or Marana, and vice versa. And so our niche just happens to be the pharmaceutical sector, the bioscience, and the biotech sector.
And that is such a growth industry, and that beautiful property out there. I mean, there's plenty of acreage out there to develop, so I think good things are ahead there.
Yeah, yes, very much so.
How about this thing with A-frame signs? More than 20 Oro Valley businesses now have been granted permits to display A-frame signs. The town council has signed off on, I guess, is this a temporary measure that would remove the ban?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, we as a council decided that, you know, Oro Valley likes the lack of clutter, so to speak, without the A-frames and things like that. And that's quite frankly what our residents want. But in these very unusual economic times, these difficult economic times, the council said, you know, we don't have to go changing a permanent ordinance. Why not just create, for lack of a better word, a temporary relief from the economy strategy playbook? And the A-frames happens to be one of the temporary relief strategies. There's a bunch of other indicators through our economic development manager, Amanda Jacobs, as to when these restrictions will be lifted, but they are, in fact, on a temporary basis. The code was not changed permanently because I think it would create a win-win situation. In tough economic times, it's government's responsibility to help local businesses or businesses in general. And in good times, I think businesses really take pride in the fact that there's not a bunch of A-frames and clutter out there.
I think one of the things people love about Oro Valley, that you have park space. Now you're going to develop an area where putting in an archery range.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, a few years back, there was a master plan design for the 214 acres at the Naranja Town Park. And you know, through difficult economic times, it's difficult to find money to get that thing up and running and starting its development. But the archers came to the town of Oro Valley and said, hey, you know, we're ready to go. We're going to collaborate with a bunch of private partnerships. And, you know, if you can carve out a niche for us that doesn't affect what the master planned map says, then we'd love to have some space there. And that's exactly what we did. So, you know, this was not any disrespect to the 150 or so members of our community, architectural firm, town staff that got together and developed this master plan. We didn't just disregard that and throw it out, but we did find some open space, and I think it's going to be really a boon for not only the archery and tourism, but really to draw attention to the Naranja Town Park. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of land that should be developed for the betterment of the region, let alone Oro Valley.
Oro Valley Mayor Hiermath is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about what's going on in his town. Is the economic situation looking pretty good for the town council?
It is. You know, this is the first time that we're going to start with a balanced budget. We are not forecasting any more expenditure cuts. We are not expecting, you know, any more tax revenues or things like that. So we feel very, very good about where we are. This is the first kind of stable footing that we've had over the last 4 or 5 years going into a budget cycle, and very gratifying, very gratifying. A lot of out-of-the-thinking out-of-the-box thinking that I think has helped get through this very difficult time.
How about your town limits? Are you thinking about expansion, or is it just about right for you right now?
No, you know, we're always looking at it, at annexing certain areas. And, you know, annexing is not as easy as just knocking on somebody's door and saying, hey, you know, we want you to come into the town of Oro Valley. There's a cost associated with that, and we're trying to be very prudent about revenue benefits to the town in exchange for benefits that we have to provide residents and businesses for a town. But you know, but that's just another leg or arm of an octopus as far as the revenue sector goes. You know, when you annex commercial district, there's a revenue component that obviously comes, you know, with you to the town. But those are all kind of things that, like I said, are more out of the box thinking than conventional cities and towns would think about. So, and I think, you know, by heading down that route, we're securing our financial stability.
Only a few more seconds with you, Mayor. Are you hearing from your merchants that things are starting to turn around?
Yes, we are. We are. You know, we have a Shop Oro Valley campaign that goes on, as well as the Oro Valley Dollars, and that's added more focus on local businesses, and it's just a very good product, very good product.
Mayor Hiermath, thank you for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
My pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. I can't seem to talk these people up enough. The reason is we believe in them here at the Buckmaster Show. Check out Michael C. Flowers if you need a CPA, and who doesn't during this, the tax season. Coming up tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview, Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll will be with me. Our reporters will be Jimmy Bogle, The Weekly, and Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star, and of course, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That's all coming up on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.